Last week we looked at verse 1. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And last week we talked about the Lord is a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's a chief shepherd. And we learned that the good shepherd delivers us from the penalty of sin. Amen. And we don't have to worry about the account of sin any longer because the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness is placed upon us when we receive Him as our Savior, and so He died for us so that we could have eternal life. We also learned that the Great Shepherd delivers me from the power of sin. We don't have to be slaves to sin any longer. Amen. Now, we, as Pastor often says, we have this free will, and sometimes that works against us, unfortunately. But we still make choices. We make bad choices oftentimes, and we can make the wrong choice, but we don't have to. The more we submit to the Holy Spirit and we're yielded to Him, the less likely we are to make a wrong decision. However, the point is, the Great Shepherd does deliver us from the power of sin over us. And then one day, this is future, but the Chief Shepherd will deliver us from the very presence of sin. Won't that be an exciting day when we don't have to worry about it anymore? Because it will be gone. And then we talked a little bit about the second part, I shall not want. And I made this statement, we find it easy to say, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not so easy to say, I shall not want. And especially in the world we live in, when everything's about get more, and I think that's the way I said it last week, get all you can and can all you keep, or keep all you can or something like that. But yeah, what we're going to see today, though, it's not so much about material things. And we'll see that as we get into verse 2 here. So let's go ahead and read that second verse. Actually, I'd like to read the whole psalm, if you don't mind. We did that last week. It's only 6 verses, so let's read that together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all God's people said, Amen. That's a wonderful psalm. Well, the 23rd psalm, and I think this is on your sheet there, the 23rd psalm can sometimes be called the Psalm of Psalms, the Psalm of Psalms, or the Shepherd's Psalm, and that's more, I think that's more appropriate for what we're looking at here during this study, because we're looking at the shepherd who has penned the psalm for us, David, and of course he's teaching us about the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the Psalm of Psalms or the Shepherd's Psalm. In this verse, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. I suppose there's different ways we could read that, and different ways we could emphasize certain words. In other words, we could say, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Or he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, we could emphasize certain parts of that. But you know, when it comes to Scripture and when we're reading Scripture, the emphasis should always be where? On Him. So the most important word in that verse to me is He. He. It's the shepherd. And the emphasis should always be on He, the shepherd. Well, this phrase, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, it speaks of rest for the sheep. That's on your sheet there, I think. By the way, I don't have a sheet with me, so I'm not following along with you. I'm just using my notes and my original notes here. So if you miss something along the way, we get toward the end, just raise your hand and we'll fill you in. I think that happened last week. We missed a couple of places. It speaks of rest for the sheep. But I want you to notice that the psalmist points to the rest and the refreshment as the marked characteristic of God's dealings with him. And what I mean is that he's not pointing to the outward blessings. And you and I, as human beings and earthlings, we're looking for the material blessing. That when we think of God's blessings, somehow we equate it with material blessings. Oh, I got a raise at work. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. That's worth praising the Lord about. But what I'm trying to get you to see is, you see how we think, and that's because we live in this world, and we're almost unfortunately programmed that way by this world. I was able to get a new car. Well, that's great, and amen for that. And I'd like to get a new car, so that's a wonderful thing. But what I'm saying is, our mind just sort of goes to the material all the time, and you know, there has to come a time when we come to God, not like this, but like this. Amen. We got to come to God. Stop saying gimme, gimme, and saying, Lord, feed me, feed me, feed my soul. And what I'm trying to say is this: that David points out in this one verse that it's not so much about the, when it comes to the rest and the refreshment, he's not talking about the material things, because in verse number, and we're not to that verse yet, but verse 3, what's he say in part A there? Let's all say it together. Ready? He restoreth my soul. And that is what David is emphasizing here. He's emphasizing the inner rest that God alone can give us in a crazy world. This world's crazy. But you and I as believers can have an inner peace, an inner rest that only He can give us, only He can provide. And that comes by following the shepherd, of course. It's rest that leads to the restoration of the soul. You know, in this world in which we live, millions of people do whatever necessary to take care of the body at the neglect of their soul. Would you agree with that? You just look around, there's... especially in the South, used to be a church on every corner, now there's a gym on every corner. Fitness Planet and Anytime Fitness, and I can't even name them all. There's all these gyms everywhere. And they keep enticing people by bringing the prices down. Now you can go for $10 a month, you know, wow. That's great, but I mean, the point is, our society spends millions of dollars on the body. Not just in fitness, but making sure it looks good and smells good and all of that. And so, but you know what? All of that money and all of that effort expended at the expense of the soul. How did the Lord say it? What if I were to gain them? Let's paraphrase. What if I were to gain the whole world and yet what? Lose my soul, my mind. And so David is trying to get us to see here. Look, this rest that the shepherd wants us to have, it's not a rest of the body necessarily. But it's a rest that comes in the inner man. It's an inner peaceful rest that we can have. The word maketh in that verse speaks of our yielding to the shepherd's desire for our lives. The shepherd provides for us green pastures, and as sheep we are to yield to his placing us in those green pastures. Listen to this verse. I will close with this verse, but I want to just give you a bit of it now. Matthew 28, verse 11, very familiar passage. It says, come unto me, Jesus speaking, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. And in the next verse, he says, ye shall find rest. And I didn't complete it in my notes here, but I remember it from the verse. He says, ye shall find rest for your souls. It's not a physical rest. And again, it's a rest that's in our soul, and we'll learn more about that here in a minute. So let's move on into the lesson here. The Bible promises believers three kinds of rest. Three kinds of rest. And the first one we're going to see is the rest of salvation. And this reminds me of verse 1 when we said, the good shepherd delivers us from the penalty of sin. This is very similar. We have the rest of salvation. You know what? We can truly rest when we stop wrestling with God. Stop wrestling with God as His enemies. And by the way, every person who is not a believer is an enemy of God. Now, they may differ with you on that. There's only two ways you can go. Either you're saved or you're lost. If you're saved, you're on God's side. If you're lost, you're a child of the devil. Now, people that I've been out soul winning and visiting and have encountered people who, they don't like me to say that. And they would argue the point. Well, you know, I'm not bad. I've never killed anybody, or I've never. They start listing all their goods, you know, all their good things, and that really makes them can make them angry to say you're a child of the devil. If you're not a child of God, then by default you're a child of the devil. And so, and of course, then you're an enemy of God. So, but thanks be to God that this changes the moment we receive Christ. I can rest because my soul's salvation is in Jesus Christ. And I don't work for that because He did all the work already. I want you to see Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 with me there. Most of you could probably quote it, but let's just go anyway and look together. Now this can be used in the Romans Road if you're accustomed to using the Romans Road in soul winning and telling people about the Lord. You may come to a place where you want to tell them, look, it's not by works. And this is the verse that you can use. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves," it's not you, "it is the gift of God." Not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. If it were of works, I could tell you all about it. Well, let me tell you what I did to get to heaven. But certainly it's not our works, is it? Far from it. And so, thank the Lord that we can have this rest because of salvation. We're not wrestling with God anymore. Number two is the rest of heaven. Won't spend much time here because this is very related. Jesus told His disciples that they would find a heavenly rest. Well, we're going to look at another familiar passage here again, if you'll go with me to John 14. What does that chapter tell us, just quickly, anybody? Pardon? Yes, sir. I am the way, the truth, and life. Starts out, though, how? In my Father's house. Many mansions, right? Let's go there. Sorry, let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 3. "Let not your heart be troubled," Jesus said to His followers. "Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Hallelujah. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so there's this eternal home that the Lord's working on for us. And you know what? This morning, I'm as sure of that home as if it were I was already there. And you need to be that sure. You need to never have a question mark about your salvation. Pastors talked about this recently. Make sure you have it nailed down. Are you saved? Don't miss heaven because of a mistake, or because of pride, or because of procrastination, or whatever else it is that would stand in your way of receiving Jesus Christ. And how many times I've heard people say, "Well, I don't want to walk down in front of the church. Everybody will think it's funny that I've been here for so long and never been saved." That's pride. That is pride. And the devil will keep you that way unless you break loose of it. Nothing wrong with coming down to the altar, even if people do think you're saved. You know what this church is going to do if you come down and get saved? We're going to rejoice with you. We're going to hug your neck, shake your hand, pat you on the back, kick you in the pants. No, we're going to love you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Why? Because we want you to be in heaven with us. This is the church family. We're family. And same way with invitation time. Don't be afraid to come down to the altar, for heaven's sakes. Use it. It's one of the historic landmarks of a Baptist church. It is an old-fashioned altar call. And I don't want to lose that. That's one of our hallmarks. Old-fashioned altar call. Well, somebody might think I'm going down because what the preacher preached on. Get over that. Pastor could preach on, you better get right and tithe. My wife and I will come down and pray. We're praying about something different. And I'm not worried, I don't want to go down, Deborah, because they'll think we're not tithing. You can't think that way. You don't know what the Holy Spirit is dealing with. So he could preach on tithing, but I feel like I need to be better to my wife, and so we come down. And use the altar, amen. So the rest of salvation, the rest of heaven, and how are you so sure you're going to heaven? I've got God's immutable word on it. He said, if you'll just believe, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And he can't lie. The third rest that we see is the rest of faith. The rest of faith. There is a rest when I have faith that the shepherd will provide and protect. We touched on that a little bit last week. And this is the one I want to work on in my life. I want to get to the place in my faith where I just have a rest in my soul that no matter what's happening around me, no matter what Satan throws at me, no matter how many bills I have and how little money I have, that I've got this rest and peace that it's going to be all right. Why? Because He is my shepherd. It's easy to get up and preach that. And as I said last week, sometimes it's easy to say that, the Lord is my shepherd. It's harder to say, I shall not want, especially in this, from this angle, that it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. What if David would have written in this 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I hope I don't have to want for anything. I hope he can find those green pastures he tells me about. I hope he doesn't forget to take me down to the water and get a drink of water, because it gets hot out here in these Middle East deserts sometimes. What if he would have written it like that? There's no faith there, is there? but he said, you know what, with confidence, and conviction and faith, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Watch it now. He restoreth my soul. And he has the rest that God intends for him to have. Let's look at that verse together if we could. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Again, another familiar passage, but it's good to see it. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known unto God. But that first phrase, be careful or anxious, we could say, don't be anxious about everything. Don't be worrisome. Be careful for nothing. Trust the Lord with it. Do you have that kind of faith that brings rest to your soul? And that's the place we need to get to. And it's not so easy, I guess, but we should work on that and put our faith in the shepherd. Second thing, I want to kind of shift gears here now. In order for the sheep to rest, the shepherd must provide certain things. In order for the sheep to have this rest that we're talking about, the shepherd must provide certain things. The first one I want you to see is the fears. The fears of the sheep are dealt with by the shepherd. That's so they can rest. You know, sheep are pretty nervous animals. Have you ever seen them? They're very nervous. They can be spooked easily. Just a weird sound by another animal or another person or even other sheep doing weird things. They can get jittery. They get nervous and they become frightened easily. Once they all start to get frightened, then there's this uneasiness in the whole flock, and they just can't rest. It's jitter, and they become restless, and they probably want to move around a lot, and there's no rest. But I want you to get this point right here. This is beautiful. The sheep don't necessarily rest by removing the noise or removing the danger, removing whatever it is. The only thing that brings rest to the sheep is the presence of the shepherd. The presence of the shepherd. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, that is so true. Out there in that wilderness, the sheep are out there. There's got to be wild animals everywhere. There's got to be all kinds of dangers. And yet there's no way to remove every danger. But the sheep can relax and rest when they know the shepherd is in their presence. And I like that. We live in an increasingly perilous world, and we cannot possibly hope to remove every danger or threat. We all become troubled at some point by the prospect of becoming a victim of a crime or contracting some disease or whatever. We're always worried about something, but we don't find rest, and we can't find rest by possibly removing every ill or every danger or every threat, because we can't. We just can't. But we can find rest by the presence of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will give us the rest that we so desire. And that'll give us the rest that He wants us to have. So the fears of the sheep are dealt with by the shepherd. And how's that? By His very presence. Secondly, the friction among the sheep are dealt with by the shepherd. Well, sheep are contrary animals. Can be. And much like people, they establish an order among themselves. You know, chickens have a pecking order. And cows have a horning order. And sheep have a butting order. And so you've heard the phrase, "Don't butt in, please." Oh, that person's always butting in. That comes from the sheep world. Because in a flock of sheep, there could be an old female sheep there who thinks she's in charge. And if she wants to eat grass where that other lamb is eating grass, she'll just walk over and give it a good butt with her head, push it out of the way, and she'll take over the grass because she wants to show that other lamb that she's in charge. And that'll go on. Others will do it too. There'll be butting going on, pushing them out of the way. "I want to eat that grass." Button here, button there. Here a butt, there a butt, everywhere a butt. But you know what? When the shepherd shows up, guess what? That all stops. When the shepherd comes, he restores the order and said, "Hey, you know, let's stop this." And his very so again, it's his presence that does that. Once the butting starts, all the sheep become jittery and they cannot rest, just like the other one when they're frightened. But when the shepherd arrives on the scene, it all stops because they know he is in charge. He deals with the friction that rises among the sheep. Now, you probably can see where we're going with this. If we leave Christ out of the picture in our lives, then watch out. The moment you leave Christ out of the picture in your life, well, you're going to be critical. You're going to be angry. You're going to be butting in. You're going to be contrary. You're going to be hard to get along with. You're going to be, you just follow what I'm saying, just like those sheep. And we're going to, if we leave the Savior out of the picture, then we start acting like these sheep and angry and critical and whatever. We get irritated easily. But the Lord Jesus Christ, if we practice His presence and realize that no matter where you are, He's right there. There's an old book, it's a classic, and the name of the book has escaped me. I think it's called, The Presence of God. Oh, I just remember the man's name, Watchman Nee, N-E-E, Watchman Nee. He was an Asian man, Asian believer, and he wrote this book on the presence of God. I think that's the title. And the whole premise of the book is just learning to consciously practice that God is with you all the time. Man, that will change your world. I remember Brother Howell telling stories along those lines. He said when he was trying to implement that truth in his life, he would go out to the car on his own, and before he got in the driver's side, he would walk around to the passenger side, open it like he would for your wife, but no one's with him. He'd say, "There you go, Lord." And the Lord would sit in the passenger seat, and he'd close the door, he'd walk back around and get in the car and drive that may sound a little bit weird, but do what you got to do to start practicing, "Hey, God is with me." Because He is. And it would change our behavior if we'd get a hold of that. So the very presence of God, of our Lord and Savior, the presence of the shepherd, then we find rest from the friction that can often come into our lives. Thirdly, the food needed by the sheep is provided by the shepherd. So the fears are dealt with. The friction is dealt with. The food needed is provided by the shepherd. Well, no brainer. If the sheep are going to rest, they must be fed. The shepherd provides the food needed by the sheep. Nourishment for us in the green pasture he has chosen. Well, thank God that he placed me in the green pasture of the Grace Baptist Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. This is our pasture, amen? And we get to feed here. We get to graze at this place, and our pastor, our under shepherd, feeds us from the Word of God, and he gives us the food that we need so that we can rest. But guess what? We need more food than just Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. We need to graze in the pasture of this. I remember many years ago I had horses, and we would have to divide the big pasture. It was about a 2-acre pasture, I think. We had to divide it sort of in half and have what you call two separate paddocks. A paddock, whatever a paddock is, two parcels of a field. And the reason was because you let the horses in one paddock because they gnaw it right down to the roots nearly. And when that's all chewed up and eaten, there's not much left. Then you put them in the other paddock and they can eat that while this one regrows. And that's kind of how we are. I mean, we can come into this paddock of the church and get fed. We get spoon-fed, really. Pastor White gives us great truths from the Word of God. But when we leave this pasture and go into the other paddock at your house, you have to graze for yourself. Amen. And graze and get the food that you need. Why? So that you can rest. And I'm not talking about physical rest. I'm talking about that inner rest that we need, that God wants us to have. So He's given us a pasture here. He's given us a book for our food. And you must be reading that book. Don't leave it on the coffee table. Don't throw it in the back. How many times have you driven down the highway behind a car and see a Holy Bible in the back window? Anybody ever see that? Sure you have. And I wonder if it just stays there all week so it's there for next Sunday. Read that book. Read that book. Get into that book and find rest for your soul. God has provided the green pasture, the Bible, in which we can graze, so eat up. Well, let's close with our application here, just a couple things. I'll go through these quickly. We're nearing the end. Number one, thank God for the rest that you enjoy because of your salvation. I remember wrestling with God. I may have not called it wrestling at the time, but that's what it was. I remember when my dad got saved, he began to call me. My parents were divorced, and so my dad remarried, and he and his new wife, soul winners, came to the door. They got saved and joined an independent Baptist church, which is the church that Pastor White and myself are from. Well, my dad would start calling me all the time. Son, I want to invite you to church. And he'd try to talk to me about the Lord. And I was mixed up with some crazy cult called Baha'i Faith. And I wasn't really into it. It was my friend did it, so I went and joined because he did. And I was leading a dual lifestyle. I was trying to be religious with this group when I was with them, but when I wasn't with them, I was with the other crowd of people, and we would run around and party and do things like that. So I had this two worlds I was trying to live, and I don't know that my dad knew that necessarily, but he would try to call and invite me to church and so on. And I would always just slam the phone down on him. I didn't want to talk about that. Eventually I got this job working at a gas station. I was going to West Virginia University to study mechanical engineering. And I was working a part-time job at this gas station just for pocket money, really, just some spending money. And they hired this new guy. Did I tell you all this story before? Hired this new guy, and the boss said, well, there's this new guy going to start tonight. I want you to show him what to do, how to close down the shop at night, etc. Okay. So he came. His name was Frank, and we were busy for a while, then it slowed down, and I was showing him how we did things, and this is the tire-changing station and whatever, I don't know. Here's how you count the cash register drawer and whatever you'd have to do. So we went through all that. Then it was getting down to the last couple hours, and and he would start talking to me about Jesus. And it's funny, because it wasn't my dad, I was a little more open, but I wanted to tell him, too, about my Baha'i faith, although I didn't know a whole lot about it. Because I wasn't really devout into it. And that went on for a couple weeks. Every night we'd talk religion toward the end of the shift. Well, the one night, this is the night that I got saved, not there, but later, I went to my dad's house. He was getting ready to, he left at 8 o'clock, I stayed for the two further hours and closed up at 10. And I'll never forget, it's like it was yesterday, he got down on a chair because he would wear his tennis shoes to work and then change into some boots and then change back when he left. So he was putting his tennis shoes back on, tying them up, and we were still in this conversation, it was going and going, and he said, he finally stood up and said, "You know what, Kelly?" He said, "We could talk about religion forever." He said, "There's just so much to talk about." He said, "But the bottom line is this. If you die in your sins, you will have to go to hell. See you later." I was like, what a way to leave me hanging, you know. And off he went. And boy, oh boy, boy, the Lord used that. And that gas station was in the center of West Virginia University campus. And it was always busy. The phone was always ringing. People coming wanting an oil change. "Can you fix my flat tire? Can you pump my gas?" It was a full-service gas station. "Clean my windshield. Check my oil. Put air in the tires. Everything." Busy, busy. He left at 8 o'clock. Can I tell you that from 8 to 10, the phone did not ring. Not one customer came. It was like God said, "Shut the doors. Lock it up, Gabriel. We're going to be one-on-one here for a little while." And God dealt with me for 2 hours. And I just leaned on that counter looking out into the bays of the pumps there outside, and that just kept ringing in my mind. If you die in your sins, you'll have to go to hell. Boy, I began to weep, and I didn't know what to do. I thought, I got to get Frank. I got to talk to Frank Moore, and I didn't have his phone number. So, bing in my head, my dad used to try to get me to do this all the time. So I ran over, picked up the phone, called my dad, and he answered, "Hello," and I said, "My dad." He's like, "Kel?" Kel's short for Kelly, in case you haven't figured it out. Called me Kel. "Is that you, Kel?" "Yeah." He goes, "What's wrong?" "I don't know." I was whimpering and heaving, and he's like, "Oh, you know, well, something's going on. You're crying. What is it?" And here's my words. I said, "Dad, I just want to be saved." And it was silent on the other end. And I said, "Hello?" He said, "Son, you don't know how long I've been waiting to hear you say that." He said, "Come right over." I said, "I can't. I got to close the shop." "What time's it closed?" 10 o'clock. "Well, come over then." I said, "Okay, I will." He said, "Okay, I'll look for you then." He said, "Hey, wait. He said, "Promise me you'll come." I said, "No, I'll be there." He said, "No, promise me." I said, "Well, I promise." He said, "Because between now and then, the devil's going to talk you out of it." I said, "No, I'll be there." So 10 o'clock came. I hopped on my motorcycle and I drove over to my dad's house. Sat down at the kitchen table. He went through all the Romans Road with me again. And then I prayed and accepted Christ as my Savior. So I have this rest, this inner rest because of my salvation. And that's what you have too, what you should have. Number two, thank God for the rest that you can enjoy because heaven is your eternal home. And that's very similar, so we'll move on. Number three, thank God for the rest that you enjoy because of His provision and protection. Number four, make a conscious effort to acknowledge the presence of the shepherd in your life every single day. This will dispel your fears. You know, how many stories have you heard? How many times in your own life, your children maybe, or you as a child, were scared to death about whatever? A spider. I remember when I was a kid, we lived in this old house. It was over 100 years old. It had a tin roof and everything. My bedroom was upstairs. And I loved that because when it had a good thunderstorm and a hard rain on that metal roof, oh, nothing like it. I loved that. But the downside about that old house was we had bats in our attic. And one morning I woke up, the sun was coming through the curtains, and the curtains were, they weren't thick and dark. They weren't transparent either. It was kind of in between. So I saw this little dark shadow on the inside of the curtain. I later, I wonder what that is. And I was thinking, that's a huge moth, you know, and it was doing this. It was crawling, it was going so slow, up the curtain. So I'm like, I can't wait to see what this is. You know, I'm waiting. Finally up to the curtain rod. And here's what I saw. I saw peek over the curtain rod, this black face with the pointy ears. It was a bat. And just that quick, it leapt off the curtain rod and started circling the room. I pulled the curtains over. Daddy, daddy, daddy. I hated bats. I was scared to death of them. So my dad came up with a tennis racket. Yep, he dealt with it. But you know what? When you're scared, you're fearful. When mom or dad shows up, guess what? Everything's okay. Can't we do that with the Lord? We walk through life so much like, oh, what's going to happen? I don't know what to work. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know what's going to happen next. What if this happens? Or what if I can't do that? Or what if? And the whole time the Lord's right there. We got to wake up to that, folks. It calms the sea when we do that. So we have to practice this every day. And I say practice because it doesn't come natural. You have to practice. Number 5, make a conscious effort to acknowledge the presence of the shepherd in your life every single day because it will stop the friction. When you know, sometimes your teenager's on the telephone, they're on the phone, you walk in, you can tell the conversation just changed. They were talking about maybe something they shouldn't be talking about, but you showed up and, okay, and they change and like, I wonder what they were talking about. We will stop arguing, being bitter, being backbiting, being contrary, if we just realize who's right with us all the time. He's such a help. Number 6, graze in the pasture of God's Word. It is the green pasture that the shepherd has provided to nourish your souls. And I think you've got one more space, is that right? On your sheet, one more answer? God doesn't want us to be restless. I didn't want to say it like restless, but restless. He doesn't want us to be without the rest that He so desires. And then there's that verse. And you might underline the phrase toward the end, you shall find rest unto your souls, because that's the kind of rest it is. How do I know that? Because God teaches me in His Word that I better work hard. I need to be a hard worker. There's nothing wrong with being weary of body. But this weariness in our soul, the shepherd wants us to have rest.